But the experience, as I've just been saying, is also being more in tune with how things are. And in those kind of situations, well, I said we move in a deeper rhythm. And I think when closer to those truths, we just do what we have to do. So I gave personal examples before, but the situations where the self falls away, I think, are interesting. So the phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning and there's something you have to do, or the accident that you witness, somebody you don't even know and there's something that you have to do and there's no doubt about it. And you're coming from a deeper place. And that's just a little bit of a glimpse, I think, of what it's like for the Bodhisattva. Because the Bodhisattva always does what you have to do. And not just in those select experiences, but all the time. Sees, feels, and acts. You just do what you have to do. And we'll touch on that in those kind of moments of crisis when the little things fall away. And just related to that, a friend, someone I'm carrying on a mission to, was chatting to me, and she has a teenage daughter who can be very difficult, and she'd been trying to explain things to a later partner who'd been trying to look after the daughter and had had enough. And then my friend just said, "Well, I have no choice. I have to love her. I have no choice. I have to love her." And that is the mother's feeling for her child. And it's the love of the Bodhisattva for all of us. I have no choice. I have to love. And somebody in my group on the Conversation Cafe talked about this. The Bodhisattvas have no choice. Well, they choose to have no choice. So we have the wish to understand more deeply, to become wise, to take on the truths of the Lakshanas, to become bigger. And renunciation and bodhicitta have prepared the way. And at this moment, even another sentient being is arriving. So it's very nice to be giving a talk to so many people, and a baby, and a cat. So good morning, handsome. When Sam asked if Leela was coming, I thought, actually, we were saying Leela's much closer to rebirth than the rest of us, so she probably knows much more about it anyway. Handsome's level of understanding, I'm a bit less sure of. Okay. Moving on now to something which is more directly serious. The advice in the passage is that we have to cut off the root of existence. We have to cut off the root of existence. So that's pretty strong. So it's not enough to be good. It's very good to be good, but it's not enough to be good. It's not enough to be caring, although it's very good to be caring. We have to cut off that fundamental ignorance, avidya, the ignorance that stops us from seeing how things are, so stops us from really helping. The ignorance that means we tend to put ourselves at the centre of the universe. And we can only cut off that root, go right down and cut off the root through wisdom. Okay, so let's look at conditioned co-production and the next verse. She who sees the never-failing cause and effect of all dharmas, temporal and eternal, and has destroyed whatever is the basis of imagination, has entered the path beloved of the Buddha. So understanding conditioned co-production, living in tune with that, leads us to the path of the Buddha. So this is the teaching of the Buddha, seen at his enlightenment. This being, that becomes. From the arising of this, that arises. This not becoming, that does not become. From the ceasing of this, that ceases. And it's the key emphasis of Bhante's teaching. He says in a survey, conditioned co-production is the basic Buddhist doctrine, recognized and taught as such first by the Buddha and his immediate disciples, and thereafter throughout the whole course of Buddhist history. So it's a Buddhist teaching, it's our tradition, it's Bhante's teaching. And the person who wrote the commentary in this book, Pabongka Rinpoche, says, "Well, you can be a sage who has mastered the entire contents of the canon. You can be an advanced meditator with fantastic spiritual accomplishments. You can have great extrasensory powers and the ability to perform miracles. But if you cannot behave with care around action and consequence, you will suffer. Right. So looking at conditioned co-production, he carries on in his commentary and says, this refers to each and every object, from basic physical matter on up to the omniscience of a Buddha. So that's all-encompassing. And in the passage, it refers to all dharmas, temporal and eternal. Dharmas are phenomena here. It does also talk about destroying through imagination, and that's the translation. Here, imagination means fancy and delusion, not the more creative visionary faculty. So, again, in terms of Tsongkhapa, conditioned co-production is unfailing. So it is always how things are. Things always are impermanent and insubstantial. The lakshanas are always playing themselves out. So this is the flow of our experience across time and space. And all we can do is glimpse an infinite network of changing conditions. So impermanence, everything is changing all the time. Insubstantiality, everything is dependent on other conditions, and those conditions are also changing and dependent on other conditions themselves, and so it goes on. So this is life at its most vast and its most minute. It's the playing out of the world systems. We couldn't get a rocket to Mars if conditionality didn't apply. The laws might be different, but they're still laws that work. So it's the movement of the stars and the passing of the sun, and it's a tiny cell within a withering leaf. And what makes up that? And what makes up that? And it's the weeping ash outside, or my window, and Ratnashuri's window, which is worth having a look at, because it's in this fantastic state of transformation. And it's had these clusters of dead leaves just still hanging on it, and hanging on it, and hanging on it, and they don't fall in the way that other leaves do. So it's embodied sort of decay and winter. And now it's getting these lovely, fresh, green shoots simultaneously coming through. So conditioned co-production applies to all phenomena, temporal and eternal, mundane, spiritual and transcendental. It holds decline, loss, and it holds growth and potential. So this is also the teaching of the five niyamas, which I don't want to go into in detail, but within conditioned co-production, there are different kinds of conditions. So the five conditions are inorganic, organic, psychological, karmic, and transcendental. And what's important, of course, is that some of these we can't control. So if a brick from a roof falls on your head, it's unlikely to be your fault. The very best we might have been able to do is place ourselves away from that condition. But we can't control it essentially. What we are actively involved with is the karmic niyama, recreating ourselves, our spiritual service, progress, the playing out of our conditioning, and also interestingly, the dharma niyama, the transcendental niyama, the spiral path, because that is also part of the picture. And because of that, the perspective is boundless and the possibilities are boundless. So every condition matters. And I think in life, we see this again at crucial moments. You know, you go out on a sunny day and you have a car crash. And it's then you start to think, well, if only I hadn't gone back to collect my key. You know, if only I hadn't had that appointment on that morning, if only I hadn't wanted to listen to that radio program and switch the car radio on at that particular moment. And we get a glimpse of all the range of conditions that have brought us to that event that we don't want to happen. Change even a tiny condition and it will probably never happen. And in some ways this is obvious. It's obvious, but we don't like it a lot of the time. But could there really be a world where things were always the same and it was packed, blocked up with all those separate things that never change and are stuck there forever? So insight is seeing and feeling conditionality, how things are, and it's our responsibility to live with care around this, to do our best. But it's not just out there. It's also us, and that's the challenge. So we are impermanent and insubstantial, we're continually changing, and we're completely dependent on external and internal conditions. And this is the teaching of the five skandhas. So we are made up of form, feeling, perception, volitional tendencies, and consciousness. That's us. Body emotions, sense experience, volitions, consciousness. And this afternoon, Kula Prabhu will be leading a more detailed reflection around this. But it's just a heap. That's what we're told. We're just a heap, which is not very flattering. And we're changing all the time. And those inner skandhas are influencing each other, and they're also subject to outside conditions as well. So internally, if the flow of the blood stops to the brain, then the brain is seriously damaged. Externally, if we take in nourishing food, our body flourishes. And if we want to put this more poetically, we could quote from the reading of the other morning, "We're only the tiny splash of a raindrop." So in all of this, what does I mean? What does me mean? Are we just holding on to nothing whatever? And we try to. We set up our defences. We try to build up the bastion of the self. And in order to do that, as Vajratara said yesterday, we not only build up the sense of ourself, we also build up the sense of other. And then we create a whole drama around it. We create our stories to make it more real, to make our drama actuality. So we have our stories, our assumptions, our views, our projections, our likes, our dislikes, the whole theatre of our lives. And also there's fear there, because we're ignorant, we're not in tune with how things are, and the bastion or fortress of ourself is built on shifting sand. So it's not enough to be good. It's not enough to be creating good karma. We need to cut off the root of ignorance, and we can only achieve this through insight into the truth of conditioned co-production. And that's not easy, and that's spiritual death, because so much of our sense of ourselves, our drama, the whole drama of our lives is falling away, is falling apart. And Bhante in Transforming Self and World says, "We have to be ready to experience spiritual death at any time. We have to be ready at any time to give up the old life, the old self, to forget the old problems and the old solutions. We have to be ready to make a completely fresh start. Otherwise, we cannot be totally transformed."